Stop. This message could save you from investing your precious time into a true crime story that goes nowhere. Avoid that disappointment. You need True Crime Feed Podcast. Unlimited, premium, true crime, curated for you. Find out about a female serial dater turned serial killer. The truth about the DARE program. Bizarre black markets, political murder plots, and a school for troubled teens so horrific it could be a Stephen King novel. You know those feels you get when you're turning into a primo true crime podcast? The thrill chills. You can't get enough. But not every podcast hits the same. You can spend hours sifting through mediocre shows that don't deliver the goods. Well, not anymore. True Crime Feed Podcast has your back. True Crime Feed sifts through the archives from the past decade to select the best cases and gives you a quick overview sprinkled with a teensy bit of humor, plus a weekly top three power ranking for shows currently trending, and lets you know what shows to send down your podcast queue trapdoor. You know you want those thrill chills. So, come and get them. Subscribe to True Crime Feed. That's True Crime, F-E-E-D, wherever you get your podcasts. Mother's Day is almost here. Have you found that truly special sentimental gift for your mom yet? Don't worry, I got you. MyLifeInABook.com is a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions that you want to ask. And then she can either type her response or use their voice-to-text feature, and MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges that she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and your children can treasure forever. Your mom has given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I loved this idea so much that I've started my own My Life in a Book for my children to have. The thought of my son and daughter being able to learn about my life story as they grow into their own adulthood is truly special. It's been an enjoyable journey of self-reflection for me too, with questions like, which one event made the greatest impact on your life? It's brought back memories I didn't even know I had. I love it, and I know your mother will too. Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code SERIALNAPPER at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code SERIALNAPPER for 10% off today. Hey everyone, my name is Nikki Young, and this is Serial Napper, the number one true crime podcast for naps. I'm back with another true crime story to lull you to sleep, or perhaps to give you nightmares. In the early morning hours of September 1st, 2017, around 1 a.m., a North Carolina 911 dispatcher receives a phone call from 29-year-old Matthew Phelps, an aspiring pastor. He says, "I think I killed my wife. I had a dream, and then I turned on the lights, and she's dead on the floor. I have blood all over me, and there's a bloody knife on the bed, and I think I did it. I can't believe this."
"Dream. And then I turn on the lights, and she's dead on the floor. Pow. I have blood all over me, and there's a bloody knife on the bed, and I think I did it."
Matthew claimed that he had accidentally stabbed his wife to death while under the influence of cough medicine. 29-year-old Lauren Hugelmeyer lay on their bedroom floor, having been stabbed 123 times. While the medicine that Matthew had taken can cause euphoria, agitation, and even psychosis, Would a jury believe it as a defense to murder? Perhaps not, especially after Matthew's dark side, history of violence, and a secret Instagram account were revealed. So let's jump right in. Before she ever married Matthew, Lauren was known as a girl who was full of life with a big smile. Born on June 9, 1988, in Los Angeles County, California, to her parents Dale and Lori, she grew up with two sisters in a tight-knit, traditional religious family. When she was still young, they moved to Bowling Green, Kentucky, where Lauren attended Holy Trinity Lutheran School. This is where her world would initially collide with Matthew Phelps, who was the same age as Lauren and attended the same school. It's unclear how well they knew each other in middle school, if they ran in the same circles, or if they were mostly just acquaintances. But whatever relationship they did have ended when Lauren's family decided to move again, this time to Raleigh, North Carolina. Lauren spent much of her time as an active member of Hope Lutheran Church, even volunteering to teach Sunday school. In 2007, she graduated from Swain County High School and went on to attend classes at Appalachian State University. Besides her deep love for God, she also really loved her nephews, and it's said that she constantly boasted about what a proud auntie she was. She also loved her fur baby, Cooper. All this to say, life was really good for Lauren Hugelmeyer before she reconnected with Matthew Phelps. It happened on Instagram. Matthew was still living in Kentucky. He didn't have the positive upbringing that Lauren had over the years. His father wasn't in his life, and his mother, who was only 17 when she gave birth to him, seemed to be more preoccupied with finding a new partner rather than being an engaged mother. He didn't seem to get along with any of his stepfathers, as his mother remarried a couple of times. So everyone thought that it would probably be better if he lived with his grandparents. Unfortunately, even while being raised by his grandparents, he continued to struggle with respecting rules and authority. He was depressed, and he dabbled with drugs and alcohol. He was addicted to gaming, and he never really grew up. At one point, he and his friends even began to abuse cold medicine, using it as a way to feel high and possibly hallucinate on it. The habit became so bad that he was eventually kicked out of school. Matthew's grandparents transferred him to a Christian academy to see if he could improve his grades and his behavior. It appeared to have worked at least for a short time because he was able to graduate from high school and then go on to attend Clear Creek Baptist Bible College. His grandparents pressured him to follow the path of God and to eventually try to become a pastor, something which Matthew would talk about a lot but never follow through with. Now in his 20s, Matthew found Lauren's Instagram account and decided to message her. According to the story that would later be posted on the couple's wedding website, quote, "It was a normal day on Instagram, just like any other," or so Matthew thought. Going through the routine of liking, commenting, even sharing other people's pictures, as well as posting some of his own. Come late afternoon, he was browsing through images of what his friends had liked when he came across what he saw to be a very attractive young woman. He tapped on the square to see this pretty lady up closer. Wait a minute, he thought to himself. I know this girl. He went to her profile to confirm that it was her, the girl he had a crush on back in middle school. It was her. As quickly as his fingers could type, he sent Lauren a message. Lauren was still living hundreds of miles away in Raleigh, so while the two reconnected online, they'd have to settle for a long-distance relationship for the time being. But still, things moved really quickly. Matthew began visiting Lauren frequently, meeting her friends and her family, and things were just getting serious. Eventually, Matthew decided to leave his old life behind and move to Raleigh to be with Lauren. He ended up moving into her house. To Lauren, the whole thing was serendipity, and she was head over heels. They appeared to have so much in common, including both having quirky personalities and a passion for Star Wars. In 2015, Matthew proposed to Lauren, and she accepted. She wrote on Instagram under a photo posted of her and Matthew looking very much in love, "My fiancé and I met in middle school back when I lived in Kentucky. My family moved away, and 11-ish years later, he finds me on Instagram, where our relationship becomes the most important thing in the world to me. I am truly blessed to have this man in my life and would not change the road I had to take to find him again. Without our separate roads, we would not be the people we are today, who are matched so perfectly." But not everything was as perfect as Lauren was making things sound. It was revealed that Matthew had been married once before, and this really concerned her family, particularly her father, Dale. To be so young and to have already had one failed marriage, it was a huge red flag, he thought. Lauren, it seems, was willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, and the couple married in 2016. It was a happy occasion that highlighted just how much the couple had in common, even engaging in a lightsaber battle during their wedding reception. Her family saw how much their daughter was in love, and they too decided to give their new son-in-law the benefit of the doubt, at least at first. But they would later say his behavior began to change shortly after their marriage. He began acting really moody and depressed. Lauren and Matthew were fighting a ton, and it was revealed that Matthew had actually lied to her about why he had separated from his first wife. As it turned out, Matthew's first marriage had failed because he was physically violent with his wife, even dragging her down a hallway by her hair. The cause of their divorce allegedly was domestic violence, though Matthew had initially told Lauren that his wife had met another man during a mission trip and decided to leave him for this new man. Matthew had this way of portraying himself as a victim always, which appealed to Lauren's good nature and desire to help others. She had felt sorry for him that his wife had left him for someone else, but none of it was true. He had physically harmed her, which is the real reason his ex-wife filed for divorce. This rocked Lauren's faith in her new husband, but this wasn't the only issue in their marriage. Lauren had been working a ton as an auditor for Quintiles and as a Sensi consultant. She was able to save up a large sum of money, around $10,000, to pay for their wedding, and now she was looking to the future and dreaming of starting her own business, perhaps even opening a Hallmark store since she loved candles and fragrances so much. She was incredibly independent and driven, always thinking a few steps ahead. But her new husband, Matthew, he was spending money faster than she could earn it. He had a job working at Dunlap Lawn Service, but in general, he hated working. He had a bad habit of jumping from job to job, quitting when things got too tough or he got bored of the work. Eventually, Lauren convinced him to go back to college so that he could one day become a pastor for their church. But he spent most of his time gaming, racking up thousands of dollars on iTunes cards and Xbox subscriptions. Lauren was getting absolutely sick of his overspending. And now, looking back at what they saw and how both Matthew's and Lauren's demeanor drastically changed, Lauren's family believes that she was being physically and emotionally abused during their marriage. Her father, Dale, would say, quote, "The last time I saw my daughter, she came over looking for a three-ring binder. She was nervous and a little edgy, and it didn't look Lauren at all. She looked a mess. I regret it now that I didn't ask questions about what was going on." But the straw that broke the camel's back and Lauren and Matthew's marriage was a cheating allegation. My family is getting ready to make a big move across the ocean to a place where English isn't the spoken language. This isn't my first rodeo, so I'm making sure I'm fully prepared by learning the language ahead of time. Sure, I know I can use an app once I get there, but you'd be shocked by how much gets lost in translation. I want to talk like a local, which is why I'm excited to use Rosetta Stone, the most trusted language learning program available on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone truly immerses you in the language you want to learn and has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Italian, German, and more. Rosetta Stone helps you to think in the language you're learning using an intuitive process that's designed for long-term retention. Their built-in True Accent feature gives you feedback on your pronunciation so that you're easily understood by native speakers. They have convenient desktop and app options, so you can learn on the go, and they offer a lifetime membership that includes all 25 languages at an incredible value. And now you can save even more with 50% off. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Serial Napper listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Sunnier, warmer days are almost here. Why not get a head start on looking and feeling your best this summer by trying something new like Factor's no prep, no mess meals that are ready to eat in just 2 minutes? Get a helping hand to meet your wellness goals with Factor's chef-crafted meals that include different nutritional options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Healthy meal planning has never looked so good with Factor's fresh, never frozen meals that are also dietitian approved. No matter how busy you are, Factor can help kickstart and maintain a new healthy routine by making it easy to enjoy nutritious meals on the go. Plus, you'll never get bored eating the same thing every day because they offer 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week. We're talking restaurant-quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, and blackened salmon, because eating healthy doesn't have to be boring. Personally, I love not having to overthink what I'm going to eat every single day, because that's half the battle, and I don't have to bother with shopping, prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. But the best part is, these meals are delicious, with ingredients you can trust. Crush your wellness goals this May. Head to factormeals.com/napper50 and use code NAPPER50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code NAPPER50 at factormeals.com/napper50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. One night, Lauren was cooking her husband dinner while chatting on the phone with her sister, Beth. Suddenly, Matthew showed up at the home after work with their neighbor, a young woman named Valerie. He blatantly told Lauren that he was going to go hang out with Valerie, and then he walked back out the door. Later, he would text Lauren a message that said, "Just eat dinner without me. I'm having way too much fun with Valerie." It's clear that he was intentionally trying to cause her as much pain as he could. Beth recalled how Lauren confided in her that evening that she thought Matthew was cheating on her and she just couldn't do it anymore. She was done, ready to leave the marriage. Beth would later say, "I think that night when he left with another woman, she just said, 'I'm done, I can't do it.' And that was the night he killed her." At around 1:30 a.m. Friday, September 1st, 2017, 10 months after Lauren and Matthew's nuptials, Matthew Phelps called 911 from the townhouse that he shared with his wife.
911, what's the address of your emergency?
Patuxent Drive.
Tell me exactly what happened.
I think I killed my wife.
What do you mean by that? What happened?
I just had a dream, and then I turn on the lights, and she's dead on the floor.
How?
I have blood all over me, and there's a bloody knife on the bed, and I think I did it.
Okay, You mean I stay on the phone with him, get in there, and you have to pay?
I can't believe this.
When did you wake up to find this?
Well, I need to know what time it is.
All right, stay on the phone with me, sir. I just gotta ask you a few questions, okay? I'm getting some help to you. Are you with the patient now?
Yeah, I can see you.
Okay. All right. How old is the patient? How's your?
She's 29.
Okay. Is she awake at all right now? What makes you think she's dead? Is she awake?
She's not breathing.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Okay, do you think she is beyond any help?
I don't know. I'm too scared to get too close to her.
Okay, just stay on the phone with me, sir. I'm here with you.
I'm so scared.
All right, I've already sent the paramedics to help you, okay? I'm sending someone to assist you. Just please leave everything as you found it. Is there anything else we can do for you, sir? Where's the knife right now?
Knife on the bed. I'm not next to it, so I don't have a weapon on me or anything like that.
Okay. When did you wake up?
I don't know. I took more medicine than I should have.
What medicine did you take?
I took horse-eating, cough and cold, HCT cough and cold, because I know it can make you feel good, so a lot of times I can't sleep at night.
Okay. Alright, no. Are you sure she's not breathing?
She's not breathing. Oh my God.
Okay, I'm gonna stay here with you, okay? Let's at least see if she's breathing, okay? Can you see her from where you're at?
Yeah, it's so bad. There's so much blood.
Okay, all right. I'm gonna stay here on the phone with you until help gets there, okay? Just don't touch anything. Just look at is she breathing at all? Is her chest moving? Is anything going on with her?
No.
Okay. Well, we're gonna leave.
Blood is dried on me.
Is she dried?
Blood's not wet on me. The blood is dry.
All right. Well, we're gonna at least try to help her. Okay. All right. All right. I've already sent the paramedics to help you. Just now, I want them to tell you exactly what to do next. Okay. Are you right by her?
My God. I mean, I can see her, but oh my God.
Stay with me, sir. I know this is upset, but we're gonna try to do as much for her as you can. If you're not sure that she's gone, we're gonna try to help her. Okay. So just listen carefully. Okay, sir. First, just look at her right now. Tell me what you see. Is the chest moving? Is she breathing? Anything at all?
Matthew fairly calmly tells the dispatcher, "I had a dream, and then I turned on the lights, and she's dead on the floor. I have blood all over me, and there's a bloody knife on the bed, and I think I did it. I can't believe this. I can't believe this." He described how he had suddenly woken up, regained consciousness, and he found his wife lying on the floor with stab wounds. The dispatcher asks him if his wife is beyond help, and he replies, "I don't know. I'm too scared to get close to her." This statement gives me the chills because I know for a fact if my husband found me injured, bloody, no matter what state I'm in, if I'm hurt, he's not going to be afraid of getting close to me. He's going to run to my side and try to help me, to save me, without even thinking twice about it. The call with emergency services lasts 7 minutes, with Matthew claiming that he thinks he took more medicine than he should have. He says he took the drug Coricidin cough and cold, something he does often when he can't sleep at night because it can, quote, make you feel good. When the authorities arrived on scene, they found Lauren gravely wounded, lying on the floor. Matthew was standing there with only a small amount of blood on him, just a few drops on the t-shirt that he was wearing, unusual for a scene that was actually very bloody. He had apparently cleaned himself up. The knife that was used was lying on the bed. The cold medicine that Matthew had taken allegedly was sitting on the bathroom counter. Lauren was rushed to the hospital, where she was pronounced dead. Her husband, Matthew, was taken into custody, where he retold his story of taking too much cough and cold medicine. Coricidin is marketed as a line of cold and cough medicine for people who have high blood pressure. When it's taken in large amounts, it can potentially cause euphoria, agitation, and sometimes psychosis. But an absolutely brutal, bloody murder? The pharmaceutical company that makes Coricidin put out a statement offering its deepest sympathies to Lauren's family, while also stating, quote, patient safety is our top priority, and we continually monitor adverse events regarding all of our products. There is no evidence to suggest that Coricidin is associated with violent behavior. Investigators weren't buying it either, and they charged Matthew with first-degree murder. It would be up to his defense attorney to prove his story about the cold medicine killing, which would be really difficult once Lauren's autopsy report had come back. Lauren had been stabbed 123 times. She had 24 stab wounds and 20 cuts to her head and neck alone, as well as dozens of wounds to her arms and her torso. Lauren's mother, Lori, would say, "They told us that he had killed her and that he had stabbed her. And he had stabbed her so many times that they would have to count the stab wounds in the autopsy. She was lying on her stomach on the floor. He was sitting on her back, stabbing her." Matthew Phelps initially pled not guilty, sticking to his claims that he wasn't sleeping well, so he decided to take an abundance of cough syrup for a bit of fun and to help him try to get to sleep. He said he passed out, and when he woke up, he was standing beside his wife's bloody body. He had no memory or awareness of what he had done, and that's when he says he called 911. This defense would be an uphill battle, because investigators on the case, they were finding a mountain of evidence to suggest that this was actually a deliberate homicide. It was well known that the couple had been arguing nonstop in recent days, mostly over finances, but also over the cheating allegations. Investigators spoke with Matthew's ex-wife, who revealed the reason that she had divorced him. There were many similar parallels between her marriage to Matthew and Lauren's marriage to Matthew. He was lazy, he spent all of their money, and he cheated on her. He was an incredibly controlling man who turned violent when backed into a corner. There was a pattern of behavior here. Investigators also found a journal and a secret Instagram account that was run by Matthew under the name Marty Radical. The profile picture of this account was that of Patrick Bateman, the fictionalized serial killer played by Christian Bale in the movie American Psycho. Allegedly, Matthew had become obsessed with this movie and this character, and he would post photos of himself on this account dressed like Patrick Bateman. This could all be chalked up as a harmless fan account, except for the fact that there were several of Matthew's friends who claimed he had recently spoken to them about being interested in killing someone. One friend told the police that he had even said he wanted to take the gun that she wore and shoot himself plus others with it. The intent, the desire, and the history, they were all there. Matthew Phelps would have a near impossible time arguing his cold medicine story with all the other mountain of evidence against him, including the odd 911 call, the fact that he wouldn't even attempt CPR on his wife, that he had cleaned the blood off of himself before responders arrived, and it looked as if the crime scene had been staged with the knife just sitting there on the bed, the cold medicine just sitting there on the bathroom counter. This would have been a death penalty case if it went to trial, so Matthew begged for a plea bargain. With the support of Lauren's family, because they have much more grace than I could ever have, the prosecution offered him a deal, which would save Lauren's family from having to go through a lengthy trial. Matthew would plead guilty to murder in exchange for a life sentence without the possibility of parole. In court, after accepting responsibility for Lauren's murder, he turned to her family to apologize, saying, "This was a senseless, mindless act, and I regret every step that led me in that direction. I feel like a monster, one of the wretched, a part of the darkness we don't speak of. That darkness consumed me until I was blind to the path I had taken and deaf to my own cries for help." Lauren's father, Dale, will never forgive him, later telling an interviewer, "I'll take him to my grave and I'll still hate him." It's believed that Matthew Phelps planned this entire thing, the murder, the cough syrup excuse. He knew that Lauren was getting ready to leave him, and he chose to kill her rather than to let her go. The 24 hours surrounding when a survivor of abuse has decided to leave is often the most dangerous. According to statistics, approximately 75% of women who are killed by their abusers are murdered when they attempt to leave or after they have already left that abusive relationship. If you or someone you know may be in a dangerous relationship, domestic violence, or an abusive relationship, please call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233 or go to thehotline.org. They have a bunch of resources and help for victims of domestic violence to get away from their abusers safely. That's it for me tonight. If you want to reach out, you can find me on Facebook at Serial Napper. I also have a Serial Napper true crime discussion group. It's called Serial Society, and I'll have the link in my show notes. I'd love to chat with you about this case and all the other cases that I cover. You can find my audio on Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. I post all of my episodes in video format over on YouTube, so go check it out. And if you're watching on YouTube already, I would love it if you can give me a thumbs up and subscribe. Every little bit helps. I'm over on X, formerly known as Twitter, at @Serial_Napper, and I post things on TikTok, Serial Napper Nick, and that's all one word. Until next time, sweet dreams, stay kind, especially in the comments. Bye.